Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Everybody, jumping in real quick here at the top of the show. We tried something different. We got a little experimental this week, and we'll kind of explain it at the top of the show as to what we're doing and why. But when you do something experimental, sometimes things go wrong. And one of the things that will become very clear very fast is that Bell sounds like he is in a tin can. That's not supposed to be the case. So next week, that will not be the case. But this week, unfortunately, it is. Maybe we should have been a little bit more experimental on a much shorter episode, but that's kind of the way it is. Hopefully you'll still be able to enjoy it. This is our big discussion on The Batman, which just came out. There are spoilers in this episode, but I definitely know what went wrong, and we should definitely be back to top quality next week. So just that heads up. So if you're able to tolerate that, I hope you really do enjoy this episode. We had a lot of fun with it. And yeah, here it is. Welcome to Panel to Screen. I'm Bo.
And I'm Justice. Vengeance. Dang it, it's vengeance.
Let's take that one from the top, Howard.
I want to do it. I want to leave it as is. Welcome to Panel to Screen. I'm Bo.
And I'm just... God, what is going on? What is going on?
Why? He's Bell. He's Bell. He's Bell. That's Bell. Oh, man.
No, I'm Vengeance.
All right, Vengeance. All right, Mr. Vengeance. We're also known as Bell. At Ring That Bell on Twitter. Yeah, and we're doing something very different today. So if the audio sounds a little bit weird or a little bit different, we're trying something new. Longtime listeners, or even short time more accurately listeners, know that we have been doing kind of some fun Minecrafty stuff. We have been for the past year. We had Flashcraft, and very recently we switched over to Batcraft, as we have been working on, or at least theoretically working on, various Batman inspired and Gotham City inspired builds. And so we thought, you know what, with the Batman coming out, what if we have a little fun? We're doing a bit of a live stream. So we're live streaming kind of Minecraft. We're coming up with some different ideas visually while we're going to be talking about our movie review of The Batman. And yeah, so it's experimental. It's different. It might be weird and it might be awesome. We just won't know until we're done. Isn't that right, Bell?
Yes.
Or do I need to call you Vengeance? Is that what this is going to be?
My name is Vengeance.
I can't believe I messed that up twice. I'm just so used to Justice being, you know, associated, you know, with Batman, I guess.
Well, that's, or like maybe that's a big theme of this movie, really, right? Like, it's him trying to figure out who he is, and kind of almost like, you know, they call him Vengeance so much in the movie that it's almost like, is he trying to brand himself as Vengeance instead of Batman?
Yeah, like a tabloid named him the Batman, and he's like, I don't like that. I'm Vengeance.
this is a V on top of my head. These aren't little bat ears. They're a V.
Yeah, it's a V. Right. Vengeance.
Oh, man. All right, man. The Batman. When this movie was first introduced and we were told that... Twilight Kid was going to be Bruce Wayne. What were your initial thoughts?
First off, he's not Twilight Kid. He's Robert Pattinson, and he's really good.
Okay.
And everything that's not Twilight.
Okay. All right. Fine. But like, name, and I mean, I know that's true. Like, I know this with my head, but tell me something that he's good in beyond Twilight.
High Life. It's an indie film. It's on Amazon.
That is the short film as produced and funded by Miller High Life.
No,
okay. Not that.
Probably not. So yeah, he's good in High Life. He's good in The Lighthouse. Those are the two that I've seen him in most recently. I mean, he's actually decent in the Harry Potter movie that he's in.
You know, oh, that's right. He was in a Harry Potter movie. Wait, that's right. He was like the kid that spoilers for Harry Potter. Didn't he die at the end of the Goblet of Fire?
Yeah, he was killed by old Voldemort.
Yeah, that's the one where the dad's like, my son! That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
guy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. This is.
Yeah. You take that back immediately.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I mean, like.
You should.
But my point is that he. I'll put it this way. When you thought of him before this movie, you weren't exactly thinking like. You know, a man tank. You know what I mean? Like, not somebody who's going to be roaming around the streets of Gotham dealing out justice or vengeance and, like, brutally destroying people.
Yeah, not really. I mean, like, he's not, like, you know, Christian Bale size, right? Like, he's not a big dude like that. And so it was an interesting choice, I think.
Well, and that seems to be a theme with, like, Batman in general, right? Like, because we're... I feel like almost every single time that we've been introduced to a Batman in our generation, like the general consensus of the internet is like, why on earth are you choosing this person? Like why, like Christian Bale was a very controversial choice at the time. Ben Affleck, very controversial choice at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've always been pro Batfleck though.
You and I have, this is true, but it took the internet a while to get there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was excited about it about Affleck, you know, because you know Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms. Well, so
this is known.
Yeah, you know, I had to fit that one in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know, you always got to fit it in there. And you know what? Twilight, McGillicuddy, Harry Potter was the bomb in Harry Potter.
And in The Lighthouse and in High Life.
Okay. All right. He was the bomb in High Life. And you know what? He was the bomb in Batman too, man. Because this movie, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but I'll just go ahead and give it away. This is the most fantastic. Okay. You know what? Let me not oversell it. Going into this movie, despite, you know, beyond the kind of casting choices that may or may not have had people excited, it is safe to say that it was some controversial choices, just really more specifically with him. Everybody else in this cast, I don't think drew too much of a raised eyebrow, except for Colin Farrell. Now, this is interesting, Bell, because they tell me that Colin Farrell was in this movie, but I didn't see him. Did you see Colin Farrell in this movie?
There was one moment where I was like, oh, because I knew he was in it and I knew he was playing the Penguin, but I kept forgetting that over and over and over again until like there's one scene in the car chase where he looks the camera is like hanging out the back driver's side window basically, and it's looking towards him, and he looks over his shoulder, and you can right there you can kind of see that it's him.
I'm just gonna have to take your word for it, man, because I did not see him in this movie. Like,
really,
dude? Come on, I have gone back and forth with like screenshots of, you know, Colin Farrell and then the Penguin, Colin Farrell and then the Penguin. I think this is a scam. I think this is a massive Hollywood conspiracy, because Colin Farrell is not in this movie.
I think it's a great showcase of Colin Farrell's abilities. Like, you know, nobody really thinks of him as like, you know, the greatest actor of all time, I don't think.
No. He's not the greatest actor of all time. No. But I mean, he's not exactly like,
he's not bad.
He's not Nicolas Cage. Like, he's not like,
Nicolas Cage is a gem.
Right, no, I'm not bashing Nicolas Cage. I'm just saying that he can be a polarizing actor. Like, his acting choices can be polarizing, right?
Yeah, I'll give you that. Give you that.
Are we looking at a Oscar level performance? Like, are we looking at a potential Oscar win for Colin Farrell, or at least a nomination here?
I don't know about that. I know I feel for certain an Oscar nomination for makeup, like absolutely.
Right. Would that be makeup or I guess costume design or something? Cause like incredible. Like the closest thing I can connect it to, and it's interesting cause it's a Batman reference, is when, Christian Bale played Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for that's the thing even Bale's Dick Cheney looked more like Bale than, you know, I didn't get lost thinking where's Colin Farrell or where's Christian Bale. Like, you could still see it was Christian Bale the whole time.
Yeah.
But with Farrell, like I got lost in his performance. I got lost in the makeup. It was all pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like if you look in, you know, especially like in the eyes, and I mean, honestly, dear listener, if you've never seen this, just Google Christian Bale, Dick Cheney. And at first you won't believe it. It's just, it's very, but you can still kind of see, you can see Bale in the eyes. And even, I'm telling you, man, even, in, I mean, I know I'm spending a little bit too much time on this, but I still think it is one of the most, in a fairly like incredible movie all the way around, one of the most incredible things is how Colin Farrell became this Penguin. And I mean, yeah. Again, you're right. It is really the makeup and the costume is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But I mean, I thought his performance was really good too. And I love the fact that
his performance was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the fact that we were seeing a Penguin that was, you know, kind of in an early stage of his career, just as a low, not a low tier, but like a middleman in the mafia.
Yeah. 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 He was definitely like not the big shot. Gangster, you know, like you normally see Penguin as.
Right. Right.
Because this is very much a year one kind, or not even year two, I guess it was a year three sort of story.
Year two. In fact, actually at the beginning of the movie, they actually had his little journal pop out that said very specifically this was a year two movie. Or yeah, year two in his Batman career.
I just assumed because they mentioned, you know, he's been at this for 2 years. I thought that meant this was like he was going into his third year. I don't know. Interesting. I mean, I might be wrong.
It's like my daughter right now is very adamant about the fact that like you should be if you're going into your third year, then you should be considered 3 years old as opposed to completing your third year. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Definitely 2 year. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I think that's the case. But anyway, regardless, I'm excited to see how they progress from this point on. I think it was wise to go with a year two, specifically because, you know, we already got Batman Year One with Batman Begins. That was very much a year one Batman story, more so than anything that had come before, even with the origin, you know, story that we had gotten in previous. I guess I'm thinking specifically in the kind of the Keaton Batman, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And so having having that combination of just the early on into the Bat's career, so that, you know, we don't have to rehash what we already know. We're seeing a Batman who's maybe not fully, not nearly as seasoned as Affleck's Batman, but someone who is established enough so that he can show up on a crime scene, but not established enough so that when he does show up on the crime scene, everybody's like, what is the freak in the bat costume doing here?
Like, yeah, people are still like, I don't know about this guy. Because Gordon was like the only guy that, the only person on the police force that like really sort of trusted him.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I love that too. Like the fact that like all the cops just like relating to him. And it felt like this as like a freak walked in. Like this is a grown man in a bat costume. Like that was felt. And I think the way in which they kind of established that was done really, really well and added to the realism. This movie may be more real or more like a more realistic take on the Batman than Dark Knight.
I could see that.
Right. I mean, I'm just trying to kind of look at it like the Dark Knight and the base jumping, I think, is really what puts it over the edge here, because yes, theoretically, the way that the kind of memory cloth thing worked was okay, fine. Yeah, it was kind of a nice explanation for why a cape in the modern context. But at the same time, when we actually see him bust out what are those gliding suit things that people do that base jumping with?
Wingsuits.
Yeah, like when he actually like turns into a wingsuit, he doesn't have that kind of bat kind of floating down aesthetic. But at the same time, it was real. Like, it was like, okay, no, this somebody could do that.
That's something that somebody could actually do.
Exactly. So I don't know, man. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there was anything in this movie that felt like it wasn't real, with the one exception maybe being the flooding of Gotham City and physics. But other than that,
I mean, like, you know, if a seawall bursts like that, I mean, it depends on how, you know, like for example, if the dams in the Netherlands failed, that would flood those cities horribly. You know, you'd be in a real bad spot there. So I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, plus, I mean, look at Katrina, right? Like we saw devastation on that scale in our own world. You know,
that's a good point. I guess I wasn't thinking that Gotham was in In Louisiana.
Well, I mean, yeah, a low-lying coastal area.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, fair point. That's definitely a fair point. And I love what all that sets up, but we'll kind of get into that in the future. Okay, Catwoman.
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz, thank you. Fun fact, not the first time that she's portrayed the character.
She has played Catwoman before?
She played Catwoman in Lego Batman.
Did she really?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
I had no idea. That's insane.
I know. Yeah. I was shocked to read that because I was trying to kind of in pre-prep, kind of going back and looking over some of these people and what their what their background was in terms of what they've done before. When I saw that she was actually listed as having done the meow meow, here it is, meow meow. Like if you go back and watch Lego Batman, she says nothing. Like there's basically nothing that Catwoman does other than saying like, here it is, meow meow. Oh no, meow meow. Like she just says meow meow after everything.
That's ridiculous.
So I gotta wonder if that was if she got the part from her incredible meow meows.
Oh, I mean, of course. Like how else? It wouldn't make sense any other way.
All right, her Catwoman though. What'd you think?
I liked it. Still had the same kind of like, you know, cat burglar aesthetic and whatnot that they're going with. And that she likes cats. That was definitely one that was, you know, that was in there.
Yes. She does like the cats. This is true. She also
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say she likes the bats as well, but she certainly likes the cats. It's very.
Yeah. And that's more of a recent kind of thing, isn't it? The whole Catwoman and Batman sort of being an item.
No, that is a long time, my friend.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, I know in the comics, didn't they get married recently or something?
Oh, you know what? I don't know if that's considered recent at this point, but yes, there was like a Batman Catwoman wedding issue. I remember
in the last several years, right?
Yeah, in the last couple of years for sure. But I do remember them really kind of becoming more of an established item. I think they've always had kind of that, you know, will they, won't they type of dynamic. But I want to say it was actually in Hush. Now, I'm sure like legit Batman comic fans are probably shouting at us right now. But I think Batman Hush that they kind of made it official.
Okay.
In a post-crisis world, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you also had alternate realities where, for example, Huntress was actually the daughter of Batman and Catwoman.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that was the case in the Birds of Prey television show.
Well, there you have it, folks. Yeah. I don't know very much about comics anymore.
Nobody said you did, Belle. It's fine.
Yeah. I've never claimed to be an authority on comics. Maybe like many years ago, but
right.
It has been a long time.
It has definitely been some time. I thought she did a fantastic job. I like the cat burglar aesthetic as well. Could have used a little bit more cat burglaring, but perhaps, you know, we'll see her again in a future television show. We'll talk about all the spinoff kind of rumors and confirmations and all that kind of good stuff here near the end. But kind of rolling through again, just real quickly with some of these characters. Okay, so talked about Penguin, we talked about Catwoman, we talked about the Batman himself. A character that I felt kind of didn't really get enough like highlighting and enough justice here was Alfred.
Justice.
Okay. Vengeance, Belle. Vengeance.
Vengeance, vengeance, vengeance.
Alfred, man. Like, Alfred, even like when he and Bruce had like a small heart-to-heart, we didn't really see him again in the rest of the movie after that.
Which is interesting because I kind of always assumed that Alfred would play a bigger role in a, year one style Batman.
Well, he typically does.
Yeah. And so the fact that he wasn't in there as much was interesting to me.
Yeah. Do you think it's more of like they're because, I mean, like, you know, they got Andy Serkis to play him and Andy Serkis isn't exactly an unknown. You know what I mean? Like Andy Serkis got paid for about three scenes.
Yeah, but I mean, then again, it's not an Alfred movie. It's a Batman movie. And the movie was already nearly 3 hours long. Well, so, true, yeah. You know, I think that's fine. That's fine in my book.
yeah, no, I mean, I think if there was one character that was going to have less attention on him, I, to some extent, it's kind of a bold choice, but maybe it was the right choice to not focus too much on Alfred or not really give him a full arc. Like, we see kind of the tension that exists in their relationship with, you know, Alfred kind of seeing Bruce as a son, but kind of being rejected by Bruce as a father. And, you know, even when we get that kind of what we think is about to be a sweet moment when Alfred is, you know, wakes up in the hospital and Bruce is there. And then immediately Bruce like starts, you know, cutting into him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's about it. Yeah. We don't really see a resolution of any kind to.
Well, and the whole like you're not my father scene, like that was like I thought there was going to be a little bit more like payoff from that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I was surprised they didn't kind of like resolve that more.
So but, maybe you know. This is like a setup. I mean, it's safe to say that we are definitely looking at a new franchise, a new trilogy, a new who knows what. I think that this is a Batman, a universe, a Gotham that has a lot of legs. They seem to know that early on. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of upcoming projects connected with this universe. And so, you know, it's possible that when they kind of brought Andy Serkis on, it was like, look, in this movie, you're not going to do much, but just give it time. You're going to get your due.
Yeah. But I'm excited though, because like, you know, I was excited about this Batman from the beginning. Like when I heard Robert Pattinson was going to be in there, I was like, that's awesome. I've loved all this indie stuff that he's done. And when he pours himself into a project, he does an excellent job. And so, yeah, I wasn't sure if this was going to be like a one shot thing, kind of like they did with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, or if this was going to be a an attempt at a new trilogy, like outside of the current, you know, DCEU kind of stuff that we got going on. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad that this can stand alone. Like we don't have to have everything interconnected. I know Marvel kind of broke movie studio executives' brains there for a minute by, you right. know, saying everything has to be an interconnected universe or we're never going to sell movie tickets ever again. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like maybe just make
gotta get
stories.
That continuity. The kids love the continuity.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe just tell good stories. And that's what people will enjoy. And that's what people want to go see. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, fair enough. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, you know, it's on the one hand, you kind of look at this and you're thinking like, oh, you know, what if they connected this with Joker? And then on the other hand, you're thinking like, what if they didn't? What if they just kind of allowed Joker to be Joker and Batman to be Batman? What do we get?
Yeah. There? Yeah. I mean, like I don't need to see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker face off with, Robert Pattinson's Batman. Like, I don't have to see that. That's not something that I'm like dying to see. I would like to see more of Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have to be in this universe, right? It could be another film with even another Batman. I don't care. Like, I'm just saying, like, comic books. There's like 50 different Batman comic books, and they're all different, and you know they don't always interconnect, and so they don't have to all the time. You know, I mean,
you know, I totally agree. And part of me actually kind of worries a little bit that because of the success that this movie is just destined to have, I'm a little worried that we might get a situation where it's like, you know, Flashpoint ends with bringing Pattinson's Batman into the Snyderverse or the post Snyderverse, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think we need that. I think if you're going to make like, if you're going to, for example, if you take this movie as the Iron Man to a new universe, which is not even what I'm saying. I'm not saying I want that. Right. I'm just saying that if that should happen, then I think what you really need is to use this movie as a jumping off port. Like don't convolute it. Don't convolute something beautifully simple and like it's complex and it's simple. It succeeds on both levels to me in the way that they establish this world. And I think that if they attempt to do something where they connect it with what's come before, it's going to become unnecessarily convoluted and almost instantly lose part of what makes it so special. Yeah. I think if they were going to do something like that, then right. After Man of Steel, they should have had an end credit scene where Christian Bale's Batman is in Paris or wakes up in a Paris hotel room and gets a phone call, turns on the TV, sees the devastation, and, you know, says, Alfred, I'm coming home. You know what I mean? Like, they should have, like, if you wanted to do that then. when you were doing the whole thing. But now it's like, no. Let this be, let this, whatever this ends up becoming, let it happen slow. Let it simmer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the problem that, that DC had, in my opinion, with their whole initial foray into the comic book movie world, is that they're like, oh, well, you know, we're going to do it different. We're not going to do individual hero movies. We're going to do one Superman movie, and then we're going to do a team-up movie with Superman and Batman, and we're just going to just see what happens, you know?
Like, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, like, I think everybody... But I know, like, we as like a geek consumer base, we were all like, come on, DC, like you lost this one. Why didn't you should have had this? Like, looking back now, it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, they should have never done this. They're way better at this other thing. But like, we wanted it. We were kind of clamoring for it.
And like, you know, as a comic book fan, it's like, I don't need to see another origin story. So there's another reason why I'm super glad this was like a year two Batman story. I don't want to see Martha Wayne and Thomas Wayne die again. Like, I'm so tired of that.
Right.
So yeah, on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, you know, I think that's good. On the other hand, let's just make movies, I guess.
Well, and you know, speaking of kind of not wanting to see the Wayans die again, I love how this movie kind of subverted our expectations there, right? Because like, we're introduced to a kid. It's on, you know, he's wearing a costume. He sees his dad. He kind of kills his dad, you know, like kind of faux kills his dad. And then all of a sudden, you know, and so we're sitting back. We don't know much about the movie that we're about to see. We know it's a Batman movie. So we've been trained in a Batman movie to just expect that that's Martha and Thomas Wayne, which, by the way, every single time Martha's name was mentioned, I really fought the urge in the theater to not yell out, why did you say that name? It was really difficult, man. I really wanted to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's understandable, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But anyway, point is that we've been trained to think that this is about to be, you know, the Waynes. We're about to see them killed in the street, and we're about to, you know, see Bruce standing over their bodies and holding some pearls. And like, we know what happens. We've been out to a Batman movie. We've done the Batman thing before. We know what happens. But surprise, that's not at all what's about to happen. They completely subvert our expectations by instead, like, you know, this being not that. In fact, this is the son of the sitting mayor of Gotham City, who's up for re-election. This movie is being praised, I think, relatively universally for the fact that it is the most Gotham of any other, you know, Batman that's come before. I think the closest, this is going to sound weird, I guess the closest that any movie has come to establishing Gotham as a character is
probably... Like, outside of the Shoemaker films.
Well, no, I was going to say it's the Shoemaker films. Because like...
Oh, I thought you were saying like this is the closest one since the Shoemaker films.
Well, okay, it's definitely the closest one since the Shoemaker films. But I would actually say that specifically Batman and Robin. Because I mean, like, if you think about it, you had those giant gothic statues holding up buildings and clocks, and it made no kind of sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, for what it was very much an iconic, a visual identity to Gotham City. It felt as though it was like toys cascaded everywhere that a child was playing with. And, you know, it was to some extent its own character in this place and time, you know?
Like Burton's Batman had the feel of Gotham, like Gotham, like, you know, the style was there, right? Like the style was great. But as far as like the characterness of it, you know, like that was definitely Shoemaker.
Oh yeah. But that's the thing. It was so over the top that it, for me, and I mean, I get it. It was meant for kids. And I mean, I guess we were kids when that movie came out, but I think like even then it was just kind of like, it's a city of justice.
City of love.
City of love.
City for peace. Everywhere of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we all need, I don't know the rest of the words. So I'm going to stop there.
But anyway, I thought the city was great. Gordon, fresh take on Gordon. We got Bernard from Westworld showing up as our new Gordon. Loved him. He wasn't commissioner yet. I don't even think he's commissioner by the end of this movie.
I think he was a captain, maybe.
That sounds right. Not necessarily fully respected, and I guess enough by his colleagues to let him kind of do what he did. But for the most part, he's not the Gordon that we know from the comics yet.
Right. Yeah. He's kind of like an outlier, right? Because, you know, he sees this mass vigilante dude instead of being like, why are you an adult dressed like a bat? And why are you beating the crap out of these people? He's like, this guy might be able to help us.
He's like, oh, sick. That dude, cool costume.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of love that we skipped right over, like, how did this happen? You know what I mean? With their relationship.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, too, is everybody knows that Batman has Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
So we don't need to see that. Well, it doesn't, like...
We got that before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think, again, we got a year one Batman. We got that in Batman Begins, how Commissioner Gordon and Batman kind of, you know, become buddy-buddy.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, like, that's an issue that, you know, you don't want to see the same stuff over and over again, right? Like, it's not fun.
It's not fresh.
It gets played out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need something a little bit more fresh. I thought he did a great job with it. I really liked the two of them kind of working the case. It was a very much a mystery, a detective story throughout. Did there's a lot of the puzzles that we don't have the pieces to as an audience, in the sense that, like, you know, we can't sit there and decode. Although I'm sure, like, someone like you is probably looking at that piece of paper and being like, no, freeze frame. I want to do it.
yeah, you know, like that, the ciphers and stuff, those are fun. It was kind of hard to follow along, I think, with the clues, you know, not having the stuff, but I don't think that was really the intent. I'm just glad to, you know, to watch Batman do it. And I'm glad that there was actually detective work in this one, you know?
Yes.
Like, that was something that I don't think we've really ever seen.
We got some of that in Dark Knight, because, of course, you know, he scanned the bullet and he brought it back. He did, like, kind of some forensics work on the bullet. You remember that?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really detective work. That's forensic work.
You're saying there wasn't really a mystery per se.
Right. Like, there kind of was in, I guess the mystery is, like, what is the plan of the bad guy? And which is, I guess, I don't know what am I trying to say here? Like, they were trying to figure out what Bane was trying to do, right? There's the concrete company, you know, all that different stuff there. Like, but there wasn't, like, active detective work like there was here, right, where he's going to the crime scenes. He's, like, you know, finding clues, right, that the guy's leaving him. And he's trying to do stuff with that. And so, like, that's the kind of, you know, detective-y stuff that we've sort of missed, as of late.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that this movie did a good job with it. I admittedly, there was certainly times where, you know, he did great detective work, and there was times where he got it wrong, and then there were times where he got lucky.
Yeah, you're always going to find stuff like that.
No, which is fine. Like, I have no problem with it. But, like, at the end, too, where he's like, ah, it's a Tucker. He's like, what did you say? You know, or he didn't grab, like, whew, great choice not to gravel his voice, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He's like, what did you say? He's like, oh, it's a Tucker. You know, my uncle or my aunt or whoever was it. My uncle is, like, a carpet person who cleans carpets.
Yeah, like thank goodness that dude's uncle or whatever was a carpet layer, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was, like, a little bit like, ah, that's pretty clever. That's a lucky break that you got right there.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, you know, Batman would never know what one of those things are.
Right, exactly.
He's rich.
Bruce Wayne ain't tucking his own carpet.
Yeah, and granted, I didn't know what it was. Like, I thought it was some weird kind of shovel. But
Bell
really
ain't tucking his own carpet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. But yeah, like, you know, I loved the thumb drive joke. I thought that was good. Like, there was humor in the movie, but it wasn't, like, you know, overdone in a way where we didn't have, like, quips and stuff. Of course, Batman never really quips, but no, you know, the way they did the humor, I thought was well done.
Well, and even with, like, the like you said, it's not quippy. Like, the twins, I remember, were kind of like a source of light humor, but it's not like bust a gut type of humor stuff. It's like, oh, you know, remember these guys that wouldn't open the door for Batman, and then Batman came and destroyed them, but then Bruce Wayne gets to just kind of waltz in, and, you know.
Yeah, like sight gags and things like that, you know.
Exactly. And that worked. I mean, like, you know, it worked for what it was. It wasn't, this movie isn't trying to be a comedy by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Speaking of which, should we talk about the clown in the room?
Yes, we should.
Okay. So, Joker, and I know I realize we haven't talked about Riddler yet. I'm kind of saving him for last, but Joker, we get introduced briefly to someone who is it's fair to say, I think it's been kind of revealed at this point, is the Joker in Arkham Asylum.
I mean, he's got to be, right?
Yes. From what we saw, I saw a gash in the side of the guy's face, but what was your take, man? Like, what did you pick up from this Joker?
He looks like he's disfigured.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking that maybe, like, you know, he has some sort of disfigurement because, like, his nose looked big and weird and kind of red. And so maybe he has some kind of, like, birth defect, or he was disfigured in some way that made him look like a clown, which is why he adopted the Joker persona. Hmm. But it's clear that he's, like, you know, been established and he's seen him before. And so that's kind of neat that there's this idea that he's already fought him before. And so we'll see some real history between them when they meet up again.
Yeah. I like that idea that perhaps Joker was his year one villain. I thought it might be interesting if, like, even that gash in his face came from Batman, from fighting, you know, Batman specifically, like, maybe, you know, and he accidentally, like, slashed right into the side of his face or something like that. Could be kind of interesting. I am very hopeful, though, that they don't rush to the Joker. You know?
Yeah, that's always been kind of a problem that, like, because everybody knows who the Joker is.
What's been done? Like you were saying before, like, the Joker has been done.
And it's been done very, very well.
Right.
Like, Heath Ledger's Joker is, you know, probably, like, everybody's favorite Joker.
Exactly. Well, that's the other thing, too. I think the choice to go with a disfigured Joker at this stage in the game, too soon, maybe?
It's a decent representation. I mean, it makes sense story-wise, I guess, you know, to do that. So that's maybe the right thing to do. I don't know. Depending on how, like, because, you know, if it's a birth defect versus his dad gave him scars, like, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Is it so wrong that I like falling into a vat of acid? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's classic. Dealing with a bunch of more, like, realism and that sort of thing. And that's part of why the Joker works so well in The Dark Knight. But I don't know. I mean, if the rumors are to be believed, there is a chance in which we may actually see Mr. Freeze. For the sequel,
that would be interesting.
I would think that would be incredible, especially with the way they finish this movie with kind of the no man's land where we're looking at a broken Gotham, one like a playground for some of these villains to rise up and be almost at war with each other. I think having, you know, Penguin owning a section of the city, Riddler owning a section of the city, and then, like, Mr. Freeze coming in and owning some sort of section of the city. And then maybe at the end of it, you find out that the Joker has been kind of, like, playing all of the villains against each other just for his own amusement. You know what
I mean? That would be interesting. Yeah.
Like, I mean, all right, so just kind of a random pitch here is you almost kind of see some sort of, like, chessboard, you know, kind of like some sort of custom chessboard or something with, like, a hand with a glove, like some sort of, like, felt glove moving pieces around and doing voiceover. And then by the time the ending of the movie comes to pass, you see that voice is actually the Joker who's been moving all these pieces around or something like that. So playing off the voiceover that we got in this movie with Pattinson's Batman coming in and being like, I'm a bat now. I don't sleep. I'm out here doing my thing. Cause I'm a bat.
Yeah, but he's in jail though. Well, I guess, are you insinuating that, like, everybody's going to break out or whatever?
He could literally be in Arkham the entire time. And he's making all this happen from Arkham. And maybe at the end of it, you know, it ends with kind of this battle at Arkham with all of these villains, their goons fighting each other, so Batman trying to fight all of these people. And then in that kind of insanity, that's where, like, this massive Arkham breakout happens and the Joker comes strolling out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, the thing that kind of sucks is that, you know, like, I liked Nightfall. I don't know if a lot of people liked Nightfall, but I liked Nightfall. Yes. You know, when Batman was broken by
Richard
by
is
Bane.
Broken by Bane. Bane took him and he broke him in half.
Yeah, but like, so they just did Bane, and so like, I don't think you could do a Nightfall.
No,
that's unless they change, you know, Bane and take Bane out of the picture and have it be somebody else.
I tell you what, man, let's jump to a quick commercial break, and after we get back, we'll talk about the big bad here. We'll talk about the Riddler as well as some of the series and speculation and things that are going down. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
And we're back. Okay, so as I was mentioning, man, we've got the Riddler. This is the first time that the Riddler has made his way into a movie since portrayed by the infamous Jim Carrey, which was...
Yes.
Can we actually, you know what, before we do it, can we talk about Jim Carrey's Riddler real quick?
And how wonderful it was? Remember, the Shoemaker Batman films are Batman 69.
Yeah. But wasn't he just being, like, Joker, but the Riddler?
No, he was being the Riddler.
I think he was he was doing his take on the Joker, man.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, like, it was fine. And you're right. It was very Shoemaker? Schumacher?
Schumacher.
Does he make the shoes or does he mock the shoes?
They're really fast, so they go Mach 1.
Okay. You took it in a whole different direction and I love it. Yes. Okay. Fair enough. So he was silly and all that kind of good stuff and it's fine for what it was. This Riddler is exactly what I wanted from a modern take on the Riddler.
Like and a actually, weird psychopath Riddler.
Yeah. Well, just a hacker, just somebody who is much more like code breaker, a nerdy dude, kind of a social outcast. He even incorporated some of that over-the-topness that we saw in Jim Carrey's Riddler, which was an interesting choice, but one that, you know, I'm gonna allow it. I think it's fine. I think it kind of speaks to that kind of that general lack of social awareness that this character had. I loved it though. I really want to know your take on this. Like, what did you think about this take on the Riddler?
I liked it a lot. Yeah, you know, he had the social outcast feel about him. The just over the top sadisticness was interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting. Well, I mean, like, he's wearing a BDSM mask. I mean, I guess, you know, at what point do you stop expecting or you know, not expect somebody to be like a crazy psychopath person? But
yeah,
it was,
I was not a fan of the mask. I'll be honest, man. That if I my main criticism is I'm not a fan of the mask.
Yeah, the mask was weird. I liked the tie-in where he was talking about, you know, the mask sets you free kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big theme in Batman, right? We're like, you know, he's not when he's out of his mask, he's not himself. Right. That was cool. I liked that.
Which, by the way, what a great choice to like keep him as Batman for pretty much the entire film.
Oh yeah, that was super awesome.
Yes,
that was mad respect. But yeah, I liked the portrayal, like the you know, to the Batman thing, like the little riddles and stuff that he left. Like that was the little the bomb on the neck, and like you're having to guess the riddles, like, you know, the audience is guessing along and stuff like that. And you know, those kind of things were neat. It's kind of like, I don't know how you do a Riddler. With him being so kind of goofy and sort of modernize it. And I think they did a good job with that.
So did you get most of the riddles, or like which, like, do you know kind of around what percentage you got versus didn't?
I'm trying to remember.
I got the Justice one. I guess that was fairly obvious.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the second and third one.
The first one was the one where, you know, what does a liar do when he dies or whatever?
Oh yeah. 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 He lies still. Yeah.
Lies still. That one. I did not get that one.
I don't think I got that one either.
The bring him into the light. I don't think we were supposed to get that one, all things considered.
Bring him in the, that one was weird. Like I thought, like, bring him into the light. I thought what they were going to do was take him to the bat signal. And kind of like drape him over the light, like to get, have him arrested or whatever, like we saw in was that Batman Begins?
Dark Knight. Wasn't Dark Knight?
Was it? I think it was Batman Begins, because he didn't have a bat symbol at that point.
The guy made the bat. It didn't come out. Yeah, you're right.
And so that's kind of what I was thinking, like, bring him into the light. He's going to be in the light of the bat signal. And then that's going to have him do something, or have Riddler do something. So I didn't quite know what that meant. And bringing him into the light, I mean, it was a random street light outside the club. That was kind of lame.
Well, I mean, it's just like into the light where he could shoot him, because he sniped him from his hotel.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what if he brought him? Like, what if? I mean, I guess he was planning on him being there, you know. So yeah, but I mean, like, what if he brought him into the light outside of his house, the street light in front of his house? Like, he wouldn't be set up there to kill him, you know. That one was kind of weird.
I mean, so that was the thing, right? The Riddler kind of expected Batman to be kind of almost a better detective than he was. Or to be able to catch the riddles. He was almost disappointed at the end where he's like,
well, he said he was.
Yeah. Yeah. I love, like, that. I love that. The kind of
it's like you still didn't get it. Yeah.
I mean, at the end, it kind of shows how disconnected he was, because he was saying that, you know, hey, you're, you know, we did this together. What are you talking about? Like, I led you to him, and then, you know, we killed him together. Like, this was an us thing.
Yeah. That was neat. It was also neat that he won, like, Riddler straight up won.
Oh yeah, full on. That was, I mean, like, again, it, what a great choice to do that. And what does victory look like, though, right? So Riddler won, and that obviously his goals were achieved. But at the same time, Batman's journey in this movie was not to catch the Riddler. Although, I mean, I guess to some extent it obviously was, and he succeeded in that way. Batman's journey was to really kind of identify, what does it mean to be the Batman? What does it mean to be Gotham's savior or hero? What does it mean to actually do good? Like that opening scene where he's fighting off dudes on Halloween, and even the person he's trying to save is like, don't hurt me. To like jumping to the end of the movie where I think as a child that's being lifted onto the helicopter and like holds on to Batman's arm because she's scared for her to be taken away, and he's seen as you know, someone she can feel safe with. I think really you see it, and what a great performance by Pattinson. You see so much in his eyes. You know what I mean? Like, his face is covered, yet his eyes like just speak volumes.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, man. He's a great actor.
You're right. You're right. I'm a Pat head, or whatever. I'm a Pattinson stan.
Pattinson
stan? I don't know what's the What's the appropriate phraseology here?
I don't know.
I liked his performance, and I don't know if there's a name for that, but I thought he did really, really well. I wasn't a big fan of the mask. I think it worked well enough in the sense that because they did the kind of flash mob murder squad at the very end, I found that entire scene to be just absolutely terrifying. It seemed incredibly realistic, especially in the modern context. I think that part added to really the terror of the Riddler and really kind of the terror of who he is as a villain in this world, and the inspiration he was able to kind of, you know, put behind his people. That I just found that entire final scene to be terrifying.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
It was just real, man. It was wild. Okay. So yes, that's Riddler. Let's talk about where this goes from here. Where do we go from here? So HBO has kind of announced a whole bunch of new projects for this universe. We know that there's going to be a Penguin series. Or actually, let me ask you this. Are you aware of this at all?
No, this is news to me.
Okay. Oh, this is good. Then I get some live bell reactions. I love to hear it. So we are getting a Penguin series on HBO.
Like with Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell, yeah.
Really?
This is Colin Farrell's Penguin. As I understand it, it is going to detail his kind of rise within the mafia. So it's kind of a Penguin year one, or maybe Penguin year zero, if you will.
Interesting.
It is. We are also dealing with a potential. Now, I don't think this is confirmed. I think this is being discussed, but a potential Catwoman spinoff with Kravitz as Catwoman or Catwoman.
Okay.
And
these are series, right?
These are all series on HBO.
Okay.
The one that may actually be, or there's two that may actually be one. One is an Arkham series and one is a Gotham PD series. And the context is, you remember the show Gotham?
Gotham, yes.
Yes, Gotham. So that series, but HBO and in this universe.
Interesting.
Yeah, but obviously no kid Bruce Wayne. So we're actually dealing, we don't have to like have this weird, we got to tell a Batman universe with no Batman. So we can't have these villains be too established or yada, yada, yada. And also we can't have a Joker, but we definitely have a Joker for some reason. none of that mess. We're dealing with like an established Gotham universe. We're dealing with an established GPD. They can actually go after some known villains and they're kind of dealing with that reality.
That'll be neat.
I think I'm excited for that because I feel like Gotham, the series, never lived up to the promise that I think many of us were hoping for from that series.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And you've got like people like Renee Montoya and who, if I'm not mistaken, became the Question. Or no, not yet. Yeah, became the Question at one point. And so
on Gotham?
No, not on Gotham. I wish she had become on Gotham. Would have been.
Yeah.
She was on for like a split second and then she never came back on again.
Because I know they did a bunch of like really interesting things in Gotham towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I watched like part of the first season and I don't know.
And never again.
I like Donald Logue, which is kind of why I watched it.
Yeah, I know. He's good. He had some good stuff. The Penguin on that show was really good. I thought the Riddler was pretty good too.
Yeah, no, they were good for sure. Yeah, mad props to them. They did a lot of good work with them. So, but it'll be nice to kind of see like what you can actually do when you're not hamstrung by a studio.
Right. Well, you know? And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some sort of limitations that are put on it and all that kind of good stuff, but we'll see what they end up doing. I would love to see so you've got Gotham as almost a character in this movie, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that is kind of can be fascinating is what happens when Batman's not there, because he cannot be everywhere at once. They acknowledge that at the beginning of this series as well, is that I can't be everywhere at once, but the symbol is not just a calling. It's a warning. And, you know, I think that there can be something very interesting in exploring what happens when Batman doesn't show up, when he's somewhere else. And I think I could be wrong, but I think they could really get away with it in a lot of these series, because unlike this question of like, you know, we call the Avengers, where are the Avengers? The Avengers should be on this. We're not dealing with world ending situations here, you know, like we're probably dealing with lower life crime or even like things being foiled before they can even become things. And, you know, I think there's a, I think there's an opportunity to tell some interesting stories along the way.
Well, we almost saw that like at the beginning when he's talking about, you know, I have to choose where I'm going to be. And they show several crimes that were in process.
Yeah.
That he didn't go get. He went to go get the guys on the train who were about to, you know, knock out that, that guy.
Yeah. The dude with the weird kind of teardrop melon head looking thing.
Yeah. Like that. Well, yeah, there was that guy. He robbed that, convenience store. There was, wasn't there something else as well?
Well, there was the guys on the train. Well, you saw what the guys on the train were doing before they were on the train, if I'm remembering right.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Sorry. I was mistaken. But yeah, like, you know, that is still an interesting concept to explore, right? Like, you know, you show these crimes. You could even do it like a pseudo kind of what if scenario where it's like, you know, if Batman had stopped this crime instead of this one, what would have happened?
Right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We could even see somebody who's like maybe a criminal who's like really thinks they're like the stuff. And like it keeps on waiting for Batman to show up, but it's just like the cops. He's like, come on, I'm a real supervillain, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
I think there was a character like that in the comics. It was oh man, it was like the goat or something like that. It was like a dude that wore a goat mask and tried to do crimes, and it was kind of like, okay, you're just
a joke.
You're just a guy wearing like a goat mask. I could be cool.
That's interesting.
I do hope they save though some of the bigger tier like story arcs for Batman. You know, one of the things that I feel like we got hints to a lot of characters in this movie. Hush got a pretty major, you know, kind of I guess allusion with the Elliots, although I think they mentioned Thomas Elliot, or perhaps his father was a journalist in this as opposed to a doctor, which is what he was in the comics. That being said, I love that even when they were talking about it, they said he paid Hush money and they put Hush right up on the thing.
And then every person behind the, or every person in front of the camera just winks at the camera simultaneously.
Yeah. It's like, we know what this is. The kids don't know. Yeah. We know what this is. So I, you know, I hope that we see that done in a movie context as opposed to, you know, in like a television show context. Another big one, major one, is the Court of Owls, which I thought we were going to, I feel like we got perhaps at least one allusion to the Court of Owls in this movie with, one of the clues, I think about the Waynes, when he turned it over, or maybe it was like a brief flashing over the screen, but you had like these two big yellow eyes that like appeared on like the back of a card or something like that. Do you remember this at all? Or am I completely making this up?
I don't know.
I feel like that's the case. I want to say that's the case.
I mean, it's a 3-hour movie and I was at Alamo, so I was eating like sometimes. So,
I mean, I was at Alamo eating and I caught it.
Well, you know, I get really involved in my food. Okay.
Oh, fair enough. I don't know. I feel like we got maybe perhaps a nod to the Court of Owls. I love the fact that we also talked about, we were really diving into like the depths of Gotham and, you know, just like even the, you know, the quote unquote more heroic families are not all that, heroic, like all of these people are dirty, including the Waynes.
Yeah, including the Waynes. Like, that was something we've never seen before. Thomas Wayne has always been, like, this hero person. And it's kind of funny in Batman v Superman when, like, you know, it's same guy who played comedian, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And he, you know, could have easily escaped the situation by giving the dude his wallet. Instead, he decided to fight him, and he got himself and his wife killed.
Right.
I was glad we didn't see something like that again. But it was really neat to see. It's like, yeah, you know, they're human, right? You know, these are human people, and they make human mistakes. And it cost them dearly. And that was something very interesting to see. And I was glad we actually got to see that.
And it cost the city dearly as well. Like I love that, you know, we really do get the sense that, you know, this is a city that's been done dirty over the years. And
yeah.
And I think that they did a good job of really showcasing that. Man, there's just so much in this movie. As you already mentioned, it is a 3-hour long movie. So much happens in it. It is a slow pace. I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday who hadn't seen it yet, and I was telling her, like, you know, I went into this movie with like very little expectations, and I came out of it just really, really just blown away by it. It's absolutely incredible. It's a slow burn. I think you have to know that going into the movie. It's 3 hours, and it is a slow burn, but at the same time, it never feels like it's wasting your time. Like every right. single inch of this film is fascinating. And so while you're not getting like this like crazy action packed that kind of, I think modern audiences have come to expect from superhero films, like it is absolutely phenomenal and worth every single minute of the movie. So here's the big question, man. Where does this movie rank? Normally we do like the out of five. I'm assuming that we're both giving this movie 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd say 5 out of 5. I think it's one of the best interpretations of Batman that we've seen in a while. I think yeah. it was, even though it was long, it didn't feel slow, which was, I mean, it was paced. I think it was well paced. Like, I don't think there weren't parts where I was kind of like, I wish it would hurry up and get along with the story. I was involved the entire time.
Right.
And so the characters are done well. Robert Pattinson was a great Batman. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name. Who played Riddler, but he was wonderful. He was
yeah.
Perfect
who is
in the
that
role.
Actually? I meant to IMDb that before we before
he
we
he was also in There Will Be Blood.
Was he in The Office?
No, you're not. No. I'm probably yeah.
Paul Dano.
Yes. He's wonderful. He was excellent.
He's in Little Miss
Colin
Sunshine.
Farrell was great. Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, I think that was back when he was.
Wasn't he in There Will Be Blood?
He might have been. I've never seen that movie. He was in Cowboys
really?
And Aliens.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway. But yes. All right. So we're both giving it kind of a 5 out of 5 here. So the next question really is, man, what is this? Where does this fall in the order of things? We don't have to like list the others, but is this number one? That's the real question. Is this the number one Batman movie of all time?
I don't know.
I mean, like Dark Knight, right? Has been the gold standard.
Yeah, it really has.
So where does this rank in your mind against Dark Knight? Is this better than The Dark Knight?
I don't know. It's so different. Like, it's such a different style of story.
Is it? Is it, though? I feel like it's the closest to The Dark Knight than any of the other Batman movies. And this Batman movie, the Batman, like, borrows from everything. It borrows from the cartoon. It borrows from the video games. It borrows from literally everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot. I'd like to see it again. Because I've seen Dark Knight, you know, numerous times. This one felt more detective noir story and less action movie, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
I like that's kind of how I always felt a Batman movie should be. It should be like noir, detective, gritty, you know, type of story. And this one I felt nailed that. I don't know. I'll have to see it a couple more times just to you know.
I think it does need at least one or two more viewings to really make that call. I mean, I think I walked out of it thinking like this is better than The Dark Knight. And after really? Like a day or so kind of processing it, I think that this world, this interpretation of Gotham, I would say is better than The Dark Knight and better than the Nolan universe. That being said, and I don't want this movie to be any faster. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this movie needs to be any faster. But the fact of the matter is, The Dark Knight does have more, like, it's more entertaining, I think, than what this movie was. And so the Dark Knight probably, like, wins out by a hair for that reason. But I need to see this movie another time or two or three to really tell.
If we judge this movie based solely on the fact that Batman doesn't kill or... Either actually kill or like kill via his actions or inaction. This is the only movie I think in which Batman hasn't killed someone.
Wait, who did Bale kill?
Pretty much anybody that he like shot or ran over the car with, or blew something up.
What he didn't? What did he do that? He didn't do that.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Bale?
There are moments in there where you're like, there's no way anybody in that vehicle survived and things of that nature.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, like, there are definitely some deaths that occurred during the car chase with Penguin. But and I mean, like, some of those punches, I mean, there's no telling. There's no way that we know for sure that people didn't die in the hospital from concussions or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty rough.
Yeah,
it got pretty brutal there. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know.
I think there's less.
The Bat Tank has no rules.
Yeah, like there's less ambiguity in this one as far as like, did Batman just kill that guy? Like, there wasn't a moment like, you know, yeah, he beat the crap out of some people.
Yeah,
and you know, yeah, potentially there could be some long term damage there. Maybe death if they're not treated or they have like a brain bleed or something. But I feel like, for the most part, this was the least sort of like, wait, hold on. Is that guy dead? Did Batman just kill that guy? Kind of right. Moment or kind of movie.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think you might have a point there. You very well may have a point. But regardless, I think it's safe to say we're both giving it about a 10 out of 10. I think it's fantastic. I'm very curious to hear what y'all think. It was this the best Batman movie? Was the Batman the best the Batman movie? Let us know your thoughts. Hit us up on Twitter at TV Talk. FM is the place to do it. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we did something different this week for this episode. We did it kind of live stream. Hopefully the audio doesn't sound terrible. I guess I'll find out after we get done recording. But
yeah, you'll probably hear a lot of my keyboard clicking, and so I'm sorry. I have a loud keyboard.
Well, we'll see. If this turned out well, maybe we'll do more things like this, because those that were able to catch it live were able to kind of hear our commentary while also seeing what we built. We got Gotham City with the Batman that we built in a couple of different vehicles. I did a try to do a Dark Knight inspired bat tank type of car, and then just a regular Batmobile, which I'm not particularly proud of. Batwing that I am fairly proud of. And then we did a kind of a Gotham skyline. And then Will, who hopped onto the world while we were recording, gave us a giant bat symbol, which he is kind of putting the final touches on right now. So anyway, yeah. That's the kind of thing you could have caught if you caught us live on the channel. We posted it out on our Twitter feed, so be sure to follow us on Twitter. You can also check out the YouTube channel and subscribe to us there, where you will see our Batcraft Minecraft series, which has been a lot of fun. And I think now we are in bat mode like we never have been. So we got some great stuff that is headed your way soon there. Yeah, but all that information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, we'll be back in a flash.
Justice. I am vengeance. Hey, I got it right that time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.